Hello, I'm Alex Renneman from Unleashed Tiger, and I'm here with Allison Clark Iapolucci and Thomas Hoxsey, who are both running for the circuit judge of the 23rd Circuit. Allison, Thomas, thanks for joining us on the program.
Thank you for having us.
Absolutely. So, hey, why don't we start out, if you could each just offer a brief background of and introduce yourself. So, Allison, we'll start with you.
Well, as you said, I'm Allison Clark Iapolucci. I am a lifelong resident of Taylor County. I graduated from Grafton High School, WVU, and then went on to the WVU College of Law. I started my career at the United States Attorney's Office, and then I became a member of Claggett, Gorey, Castile, and Tipton, and they decided they were going to reallocate resources. And so I opened my own law firm here in Grafton in 2006. So I have been here ever since. Although I've moved around downtown Grafton a little bit. And I began as a property and estate attorney. And then I was requested by the circuit court to begin juvenile proceedings as well as criminal defense proceedings, and still continued the property and the estate planning, which is what I was known for. And then in about 2016, the court asked me to take over as the primary guardian ad litem in the circuit. And so I have been doing that since. So the first 13 years was spent as a little bit of a, a renaissance attorney, which is really what small town attorneys are. And then the last several years have been with guardian ad litem work, advocating for children. So that's what I've been up to.
Excellent. Thomas?
Oh, thank you. Yes. So my name is Thomas Hoxsey. I have had the honor and privilege, I guess, of being your circuit court judge for 1 year. I was selected by Governor Justice to replace retired Judge Alan D. Motes when he retired a year ago. And prior to that, I was the prosecuting attorney for Barber County for 6 years. And during that time, I handled a lot of big cases, did a lot of big trials. And I think I worked for justice in Barber County. I did a lot of good for Barber County in that capacity. Before that, I was an attorney at Mullins & Mullins in Phillippi, West Virginia, and I had a general practice, civil and criminal litigation. I practiced both in Taylor and Barber County. And other than that, personally, I grew up in Phillippi, and that's where I currently live. And my wife and I and our three kids live there. And I just say in my 1 year as judge, I think I've really shown that I have the experience, qualifications, and temperament to make fair and just decisions for the citizens of Taylor and Barber County, and looking to continue.
Excellent. Thanks to you both. Now, I have this next question, and Thomas, will start with you, but the circuit court system, I'm sure our listeners are fully aware of what the circuit court system is. However, let's assume that they might not, because it is a unique animal to a certain degree. So what I'd like to ask you, starting with you first, Thomas, is how do you view the role of the circuit court system, and what approach might you take as judge towards ensuring its effectiveness?
Okay, so I'll just start off and define what the circuit court is. First, we are a court of general jurisdiction. And what that means is we handle any type of case that's not specifically allocated by the legislature to a specific type of court system. So I would say, look at family court. Family court, they deal with divorces and child custody primarily. So we don't handle those issues. And then we have magistrate court. They are more or less small claims court. They handle a lot of the small claims issues. We handle basically everything else, a catch-all. So we do all the felonies. We do all the child abuse and neglect cases. We do all the majority of the civil cases. We do guardian conservator cases, real estate disputes. I do marriages, adoptions. Basically anything that's not going to a specific court, we handle. So we're a very big, broad range of types of cases we handle. In general, I look at it, though, as we, as a judge in our court system, we are to resolve disputes in society. That's our goal. Our purpose is there is a dispute. Let's say, if you think of criminal, that's a state versus citizen. There's a dispute whether someone violated a law, and our court system is to resolve that dispute, whether it's through a plea agreement or allowing it to proceed to a trial. The same with a citizen versus citizen, as in a car crash. There's a dispute whether if someone owes someone compensation or business for citizen. And so that's our main objective as in, I guess, in government, is to resolve disputes involving different parties.
Okay, perfect. Thank you. And Allison, how do you view the role of the circuit court system? And as a judge, if you're fortunate to be elected, how would you work to towards its effectiveness?
So my estimation of the court system is very similar to Judge Hoxie's. I will say we don't deal with situations involving the folks I used to be with, which are the federal authorities. We're totally separate sovereigns. So there's the state and there's the federal side of things. The court people are most familiar with is sort of the people's court, which is magistrate court. When you come into the circuit court, you're there. Most people have their encounter with circuit court when they're called to jury duty. That's usually where people find themselves being involved with the circuit court. But you find yourself there for a variety of reasons. And by the time that you get to the circuit court, something has gone wrong. Something has happened in your life or that of someone else. And so when you come there, and I'll say 70% of the docket currently is child welfare cases. That's what I specialize in. And that's the large majority of the court's burden right now. I think that the best way to help people, the best way to have people feel like they are not with trepidation, because I go into circuit court sometimes 5 days a week. So it's a very familiar place to me. It's like a second home to me, but that's not how people feel coming in there. So I think that the key is to run things punctually, to be clear with expectations, to be in a way that you can familiarize people with the court with them and not actually being there. So you can imagine what it's like to go into a party and not know where to sit. It's uncomfortable. And so as the circuit judge, I think that my job is to make you more comfortable with an uncomfortable situation and to facilitate and understand that this isn't something people do every day. And so I don't want anybody to feel like they're the last person looking for a seat at a party. I want them to feel like this is a place that they can come in and that whatever has brought them there, which is not always pleasant, is something that we will work to resolve in the way that is prescribed for us to do so.
Yeah, it makes sense. Allison, we're going to stay with you on this. Can you, I know we talked about our backgrounds, but can you provide maybe an experience that highlights your qualifications for this role of judge?
Okay, so the one that jumps out at me is that I have been placed in situations, and let me say, I can't speak specifically to those situations because everything that I deal with currently is confidential. But I will say that when I began working, I was a felon, I was attorney for felonies in that come before the grand jury and that are before the circuit court. And there was a situation where I had an individual, and that individual was most assuredly struggling with the things in their life that they had been carrying, a lot of baggage, and whether that is trauma or whether that is just societal challenges that that folks face. And I sat down with that individual and I worked through the criminal part of it, but then I worked through rehabilitation applications. That's what I did. And, you know, he kind of looked at me and said, "Well, what are we doing here?" And I said, "I'm here to make a difference for you." I said, "Not just to represent you in court, but to make a difference, to sort of tie into that Boy Scout motto of leave things better than you found them." And so I ran into him several years later, and he said to me, despite the fact that, you know, his case didn't necessarily have the most favorable outcome, he said to me, "You know, that was really great. You know, that experience," he said, "it put me on a path to where I don't need those things anymore." And it made me realize that doing more and going that extra little bit for someone that really isn't part of the job is the thing that sometimes is the tipping point to set people on a different path. And that is an extremely powerful thing to think that the extra mile is an area that's not commonly traversed. But when you do it, you find that you're not always successful, but sometimes you make an enormous difference. And so that that gentleman sticks in my mind. I think of him sometimes. I probably think of him twice a week. When I get frustrated with something, I'll sit down and I'll think, now, you know what? Remember that. So that's one that is more in the public realm. I've had some experiences within child welfare that have, they have just amazed me in both good ways and bad. And those are things that I keep with me and that I remember and revisit and they're for me. And so that's what I think of when I think of what is it we're doing here.
Great, thanks. Thomas, an experience that highlights your qualifications for judge?
All right, well, I'd go with probably three areas, just 3 points on that. Well, first, we're in a unique situation of you get to know how I've been as a judge. I've been a judge for a year. So you can look at my record and you can determine if that is a person you want to continue being your judge. So, and I believe I have shown that I have all the experience, qualifications, and demeanor to make those fair and just decisions that the citizens of Taylor County want. So very much, you know what you're getting. And I know you can look at a lot of my decisions, at least my criminal decisions that I've presided over have been published by online newspapers. Specifically, I think Nikki Skinner comes to court a lot and publishes for the Mountain Statesman, and those are available on West Virginia News. Those articles allow you to see the issues I deal with as a judge and the decisions I have made in those cases. And so a lot of times, if you like what I'm doing as a judge, then I'd say vote for me. If you don't, then vote for Miss Appalucci. Also, this is not my first time being a public servant. I've been an elected official. This is my third time up for election, but I've been an elected official for almost 8 years. And I think you can have confidence in me as a judge when you look back at my records. I have done a prosecutor for 6 years. You have to make a lot of decisions, and you have to, what you're doing is you're working for the interest of justice. You're not trying to win a case as a prosecutor. You're trying to do justice. And as that, I've done thousands of decisions, even in that role, working for justice. And so that has really helped me, and it helped me going right into day one, being able to make very hard decisions on what to do in people's lives and how that will affect them. And the last area I would say is I have come into this job with a lot of jury trial experience. You want a judge that has been through a jury trial, that has done a lot of these cases. I've done some of the biggest jury trials any attorney would do. I've done murder, kidnapping, child sexual assault. In fact, Alex, you and I were in a jury trial together. You were an expert witness for a defense, and you even got to see me in that capacity. And I did a murder trial by myself. There's few prosecutors in this state who have done a murder trial by themselves. And so you want someone who knows how to handle a jury trial when that arises, how to handle those issues. And being going through that, that does set me apart very much so from that. So I think that is the three elements I think that really I bring to the table in this election.
Great. Let's go into judicial philosophy for just a moment. And Thomas, we'll stay with you. What philosophy guides your decision-making process from the bench?
Well, the main important part and what I always look at is your job, as I've said before, is your job is to do justice. That is purely your job. And to do that, you must have an impartial, you must be going in and saying, I'm going to be impartial. I'm going to treat everyone fairly. And that is what you must do. And justice is very much rooted in our laws, our ethics, our morality. And you got to take all of that into consideration and trying to work towards a good and just result. So in terms of it, what I do is that you got to look at the law, you apply the facts to the law. Correction, the law to the facts. That's what you want to be looking at. And so really, you want to come into it being unbiased and open-minded and looking at all the issues. For example, an example would be with sentencing. When you're sentencing someone, you look at everything. You want to look at their background. You want to look at their employment, their education. You want to look at their criminal history and what have they done. You got to look at the crime. What type of crime was committed? Was it a violent crime? Was it a nonviolent crime? What does the victim want? Is the victim coming here? Is the victim injured? Were they not injured? There's a whole range of everything, and you need to look at it. You look at the law and what are you directed by the law to do? And what do the facts lay out? And then that's what you got to do. You got to just, it's basically look at everything and always have that goal of working for justice.
Makes sense. Allison, your philosophy in decision making?
So in my capacity as a guardian ad litem, I am charged with making recommendations to the court regarding the outcome of cases involving children and parents. And we all carry with us biases. We all do. We carry biases that we are conscious of. We carry biases that we are unconscious of. It's the reason why if you sit down on an airplane next to someone wearing a West Virginia shirt, you think that person's like me. And so therefore, I've got something in common with them. But we're all carrying this around with us. And biases are neither good or bad. They just are. They're a shortcut to tell us how to deal with the world. So that being said, I think that there, my judicial philosophy is one of introspection, which is my job is not to do anything that reaches into my personal perspectives, that reaches into my belief system, because they don't belong there. What belongs there in a courtroom and in a decision-making process is applying the law to the facts and the evidence that's before you. If I know something, but it's not in evidence, that's not something that I am to put my own thoughts on, that I'm to shade. I have to look at exactly what is in front of me and then render a decision. And it's the same decision-making capability that I have in terms of what goes on in those child welfare cases. And I have been faced with a great deal of pushback and adversity, and even some folks like to sort of air their perspectives to others about the decisions that I've made or the recommendations that I've made. I can't say that to anyone because those are confidential matters. But in all of that, I look at the aggregate of the circumstances. I look at what you're tasked with doing, which how you, what you have done with regard to that task. And then I render an opinion, and it's a written one, and I give it to, you know, the judges here, and they look at it and they decide if they agree with me or if they don't. But I think it all begins with a little, I think it begins with self-introspection to understand that those unconscious biases are with all of us. And we just, you know, we just have to be very mindful of that.
Yeah, it makes sense. And so, Allison, staying with you on this one, you know, over the last decade or two, I mean, the case mix, lots of things have changed in our circuit system. Even the circuit, you know, I got two covering here. So, I ask you in this question of what do you consider to be maybe the biggest challenge facing our judicial system today at this level, and how might you propose to address it as circuit judge?
Well, you know, anyone that is out and is a member of the public, you don't have to be a member of the court system. You do not have to be someone that has an innate knowledge of what goes on in our courthouses to identify that the same stressors that plague other places plague us as well. So I'm no expert, but I mean, we obviously know that drugs and poverty and socioeconomic stressors, those are all things that impact upon our communities and the people who live within those communities. I am someone that strives very hard to link people with resources. I am seeking out resources all the time for folks because we are very limited in our resources in what is available in West Virginia. There are times that children have to be placed outside the state of West Virginia because we simply do not have facilities within our state to address their particular concerns. And that's not unique to cases involving children. That is writ large across our system in that we are often going to, you know, we reach the bottom of our barrel and we look around and there's not a second barrel to open. So I think that that resources are something that plague us, and the dearth of those resources and the need for those things to be able to link people with the things that will keep them from even getting to the part where they are a participant in the criminal justice system, or they're a participant in, you know, a child welfare case or a domestic case. Because if the resources are there and we can connect people with them, then they only ever see the inside of the courtroom as a potential jury member.
Makes sense. Thomas, biggest challenge facing our court system and how you might address it as judge?
Well, the main one, of course, I think everyone knows, is a drug problem. I mean, that has been, it's so many issues stem from it. Right now it was methamphetamine. Now it's even becoming fentanyl is now our major problem. And how do we, everything, almost everything in our court system or a majority of it stems from that. Our burglaries, our child abuse, a lot of domestic violence, violence in general, a lot of times it stems. You have a drug component in so many of our cases now. And so many of our times we are working to try to get, for example, in either child abuse and neglect or in criminal cases, trying to get them to stop using drugs. And the problem, as Ms. Appalucci alluded, is we have, this is a new problem that has grown and we didn't have the resources available previously. 20 years ago, we didn't have all these resources available. So we are growing resources to try to identify that. And in the court system, we are always looking for new ways to help people rehabilitate. That is a goal, because eventually, no matter what, they're, even if someone goes to prison, eventually that person will come back into the community and we want that person to be rehabilitated. So we are trying to work on all of those issues. The hard part, the hardest part about being a judge is when they come to your court and they let someone comes and they are a drug addict, they are already an addict. We need to stop as a society. We need for them not to be a drug addict, for them not to have chosen to use drugs. And that is a societal issue that the court system can't always address. When they come to us, it almost is like a doctor. They're coming to the doctor with cancer. We don't want them to have been doing, let's say, smoking that caused that cancer. We have to address why they started smoking. A lot of times they're coming to us addicted and we are dealing with that, but that's not the best place to deal with our drug problem. It is going to be a broad range of societal problems. We deal with it as much as we can, but when they come to us addicted, that's a very hard way to start. That's not where we want to start as a society, looking at a drug problem.
Yeah, it makes sense. So Thomas, staying with you, you know, the court system, it's important that it has the trust of the people who are there. And although many people may not interact with that system, the question to you is, in what ways do you plan to foster community engagement or trust in the judiciary?
Well, there's a few ways. The first way is just having confidence in your government. That is by being a good elected official. By having confidence in it is where it all starts. If you don't have confidence in your sheriff department or you don't have confidence in your legislature, that's where it's going to first fall apart. So mainly is developing confidence. And I think through doing that is first is doing a good job. How you do that is people see that you're making fair and just decisions. That's something that, and it's, I am happy when I'm happy when Nikki Skinner comes to the court, whether it's going to be positive, whether it's a positive article about me, negative, it doesn't matter. It's important that the public sees. We have the whole courtroom is open to the public. And so it's important that they see what's happening in the court system. So I think starting with confidence. The next one is making availability. I think that helps improve. We increase the number of hearings. With two judges now, we have massive amount of increased hearings. Increased trials. In fact, we had trials scheduled January every month this year up until September, except for July, I think. So we've increased the number of trials. You will get your day in court is a policy I know Judge Nines and I are both working on, is you will get your hearing so that justice is not delayed. The other areas that we've worked on is we've developed what's called a Barber-Taylor Court Advisory Council, which is we bring together members of the community and the court system together, and we are discussing different areas that we could work on and improve on, and resources outside in the community that we could be utilizing in the court system. And that involves child forensic interviewers, we have probation, we have the school system, everyone's being brought in, and we're trying to develop this so that we're not missing anything. But the main thing I think the court system can do is having the public have trust in what is happening in the court system. And once they have confidence in it, I think that's an availability that we're running smoothly. That's the most important thing I think I can do as a judge.
Allison, fostering community trust and engagement in the judiciary?
Well, the very best way that I know to do that, because there are folks that are very distrustful. They have had experiences in the past, they've had experiences within their family, and they have a lot of trepidation about the court system. And the number one way that I think that someone would have confidence in me as a judge is by simply knowing me. I've spent my time in Barber and Taylor County. I've interacted with thousands of students over the last 25 years, as well as their parents and their families. And if they know me and they know the type of person that I am, I think that that helps build a rapport, and that helps build trust, which is also a function of accessibility and is also a function of transparency. I think the worst thing that can happen is that the first time that someone encounters a judge is in their official capacity, because that's one of those situations that it just doesn't, it doesn't lead to that crossing that first hurdle of trust. When I used to have clients come in and meet with me at my office, I would always meet with them sitting on the other side of the desk. I did not meet with them across the desk, because that immediately sets up an adversarial relationship. And so I think that, you know, in order to do those things, I think people have to know you. They have to know the type of person that that you are. They have to trust your primary mover in your life is their best interest. And then from there, we look at things like, you know, I mentioned punctuality. Who hates going to the doctor's office and sitting there and waiting and waiting and waiting, and you don't know why you're waiting, and you don't know what's going on. And it could be for a very good reason. So I think that communication, punctuality, accessibility, just a general feeling that the person that you are speaking to is listening first to understand, and second, to be understood. And that is how I have always approached things. I am always listening first to understand and then to be understood.
Great. Well, as is customary on this program, we give the candidates the last word. So we're closing this up. And Thomas, we'll start with you, since we did the opening the other way. So Thomas, what is it you'd like to leave the voters of this 23rd district before we conclude our interview?
All right. Well, thank you. No. What I can tell you is, first, is I'm going on my 8th year as a public servant. I have worked, this is where I chose my career to be. I want my career to be in public service. And I stand by the decisions I've made over this last year as your judge. My job is to work to make fair and just decisions for you. And I believe I've also worked to make an efficient court system. And that's what is one of the most important parts of being a judge. Furthermore, I have always used, and I always focus on, making common sense decisions, making that based upon the law. And that's one that drives me, is looking at this from a very common sense perspective, also bringing my experience, my legal experience, and my dedication to the job. And so this has been an honor. It's been a privilege to be your circuit court judge. And I would very much want to continue doing that and working to improve our community as your judge. So I would appreciate your vote and support. Thank you.
Thanks. Allison, what would you like to leave with the voters before we conclude here today?
Well, what I would like to leave with the voters is the thought that that has been in the public, and I have worked in both counties for many, many years, doing things that are meant to better the community. Public service has been a way of life for me. it's a way of life for my family. My dad taught me a lot. He spent 40 years in the Marine Corps and the Army, and you don't do that and not have it bleed over to the rest of your family. And so I really believe that I can reach more. I believe I can do more. I believe I can connect more people. And I would love the opportunity to do that. And so for that reason, I would love it if people would just consider me as an option on election day. You may not always agree with the outcome of what occurs. It may not be something that makes sense to you, but I promise you that the decision will be one that is based in the law, that's based in case law, that's based on what our legislature has told us that we have to do. And those decisions will be made very carefully and with a great deal of thought, with a great deal of respect toward the fix that I'm serving. And my other goal is to bring diversity to our judicial system. There's not a lot of folks that put themselves out there to run for office. I think it's an interesting endeavor. Let me say that. So I just want you to consider me as an option on May 14th. And I certainly appreciate the opportunity to speak with y'all today.
Great. Thanks. Allison Clark Appalucci, Thomas Hoxie, Circuit Judge for the 23rd District. Thank you both for coming on the program and good luck in the election.
Thank you.